Blue Wire.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of The Rebuild. I'm Henry Ettinger, joined alongside by Jordan Klimack. Jordan, it's 8:30 Eastern on a Sunday night, recording after the Browns just fell to the Chiefs 33-29. How are you feeling about the game we just watched?
So, all right. At first, it was tough, right? It was tough because this is a game the Browns should have won. It was really two key mistakes that cost them this game. And yeah, it was tough. You know, Henry, you know, we're all sitting there. I was watching with a group of friends. And, you know, it's kind of that depressing feel. It was like, all right, we just lost. But then, you know, 10, 15 minutes later, I was like, all right, you know, I'm coming back down to reality. Like, it's okay. Look, we told everyone not to overreact to a win. Not to overreact to a loss. Initially, it hurts because you feel like, again, we could have and maybe even should have won this game. And at the end of the day, it ended up being a loss. Something about Kansas City just can't win those close games, Henry. But it was a good game. There's a lot to learn from. There's a lot to build on for the Browns. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. You'll start 0-1, and it hurts because, of course, the Steelers won, and, you know, the Bengals won as well. The Ravens are probably well on their way to winning tomorrow. So the Browns might be the only team in the AFC North to not get a win in week one. And that kind of hurts, Henry. But at the end of the day, it's just week one. It's a long season, 17-game season. We'll move on. We're on to Houston.
Yeah, I'm somewhat in a similar boat. I don't know. I've been oscillating between pessimism and optimism, and we can get into why a little bit later. But you hinted at it there. In my opinion, the Browns should have won this game. This is a game that the Browns should have won, except for a couple of costly mistakes. Yeah, obviously, the fumble from Nick Chubb, the dropped punt turnover by Jamie Gillen, and then, you know, the interception by Baker Mayfield were all pivotal plays that ultimately, in a four-point game against another elite team, cost the Browns. So on one hand, you're stuck with that feeling where it's like, that this is an opportunity missed, right? I think most Browns fans, supporters of the team would agree that this is an opportunity missed. But at the same time, as you said, you know, there's the idea that, hey, the Browns were right there. You think about all the openers that the Browns have had over the years that have been so deflating for a different reason, because the team has looked totally unprepared. Even last season, when the team ended up, of course, being, you know, 11-5, they got absolutely destroyed in their opener. And that was not the case in this game, right? The Browns looked like an elite team. And so that gives, you know, some hope. But they also didn't pull it out against somebody that's going to be their chief competition in the AFC. So, yeah, I'm somewhere between. But let's get into the game a little bit as far as just kind of the game flow, and then we'll talk, you know, offense, defense, that kind of thing. But the Browns came out on fire, Jordan. They absolutely dominated their first possession, and in general were the ones that were on the front foot early in this game. So what did you see early on that you think kind of led to the Browns' success?
To me, it was just overpowering. I think the offensive line was dominating the Kansas City defensive front, and that was evident in the run game. And then, of course, the play action. I think a lot of the big, you know, Browns passing plays came off of the play action, which was predicated off of their ability to run the game, run the ball, and do so successfully early and often in that game. There were huge holes. I think about the touchdown run that Chubb had untouched for about 15 yards, Henry. Then I think in the second half, it kind of flipped over, and all of a sudden, you know, the Browns weren't being as dominant offensively. But really, it just comes down to mistakes, Henry, at the end of the day. But early on, when we're talking about the Browns and their offense and what they were doing, yeah, they were, like I said, it comes down to smash mouth football. I just think that they were kicking the Chiefs in the teeth, and it didn't sustain that throughout the whole game. Of course, it sucks Jed Wills went down. I'm sure we'll get into that later. But yeah, it was just a lot of the same what I expected to see. And, you know, I talked to a lot of people this week that, you know, thought the Browns were going to come out slinging the football, throwing the ball all over the place, trying to get the lead that way, and then kind of use the run game, Henry. But I think it was actually kind of the opposite, which kind of goes against the philosophy of what we saw from Kevin Stefanski last year. But yeah, they were dominant in the first half of this game, Henry. I mean, the defense could not stop the Browns whatsoever. And that 2-point conversion, that was pretty interesting. A great call by Stefanski as well. But early on, all of this success was it was up front for me, Henry.
That's a great point. And I think it ties a lot into what this team's identity is last year. I thought it was a lot of the same in terms of dominating the line of scrimmage, the run game, building the play action off of that. And then the third thing I'd say is they sprinkle in some creativity as well. That, you know, there was a play where they had multiple tight ends spread out wide and then ended up throwing a screen pass to the other side. There was a Jarvis Landry, you know, 4th-and-1 touchdown play that was creative. A pass where Baker Mayfield rolled to the left and threw it back across to Anthony Schwartz. So and all of that mixing in with exactly what you said. It's interesting, though, that you didn't think the Browns continued that throughout the game. I thought the offensive line dominated the whole game. I mean, Chubb obviously fumbled on that one drive, but the run game, I thought, was still intact on that drive. I thought the drive after the Chubb fumble, the offensive line was pretty good, too. To me, the aggression and the smash-mouth football was there all the way around. It was just, as you said at the end there, the mistakes ultimately that killed the drives more so than anything that the Chiefs did to stop the Browns.
Yeah, I just think, I mean, more in terms of like, I think that Chiefs pass rush was getting home a little bit more in the second half. Baker took a couple of hits and a couple of sacks as well. That's just what I mean more by like, you know, it wasn't as – they were definitely dominant. And if we're just strictly talking about the run game, they were dominant throughout that entire game, Henry, and to lose a left tackle in Jedrick Wills, which I don't know what it is. I guess he just has some bad luck in Kansas City, but to lose him and not lose much with Chris Hubbard until that second half where Baker did take a couple more hits, that's really all. But the offensive line, for the most part, was dominant throughout the entire game. Like we said, it just comes down to the mistakes. But, yeah, it stings for sure.
Of the mistakes or of the game in general, was there a particular one that you would point to and say, hey, that's where the game changed? That's where things really shifted out of the Browns' favor into the Chiefs' favor?
It had to. Well, I mean, the obvious one is the punt, but I think that even if you punt that ball, Henry, let's just be realistic. Odds are you probably weren't stopping Patrick Mahomes at that point. That Chiefs' offense was in such a rhythm and they had guys in space. Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce doing what they do every single day. They were out in space. So to say that the Browns were going to get that stop, it's hard for us to say. Obviously, the huge critical, we'll see here, maybe even like a type of mistake where you have to evaluate that position going forward with Jamie Gillen. We'll see how that comes out. But to me, it's got to be the Chubb fumble. Uncharacteristic, definitely unlucky. Got a helmet on the ball, Henry, but you know, they had momentum. I mean, Chubb with what he had, like 25 yards, something like that, on back-to-back carries before that, right out of the half, and you're like, all right, the Browns are just going to keep running the ball. They're just going to keep running the ball down their throat, and then the fumble happens, and it's like, ah! So, yeah, to me, I point to the fumble as the one that kind of really changed the pace of this game and was really the game-changing play in this game, in my opinion.
Fumble, as you said, uncharacteristic, perhaps a little bit unlucky. You could see how upset Chubb was, and he said just as much in the post-game presser that he made the biggest mistake of the game, clearly taking the blame over perhaps Jamie Gillen for his drop.
What was the – Henry, what was the score at that point? Do you remember – I don't remember off the top of my head, but I think the Browns were driving to go up – would it have been 9 at that point?
Yeah, when Chubb fumbled, it was 22-17.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So, and to me, the reason I would say the Chubb fumble wasn't and this is hindsight, obviously, is that the Browns were able to bounce back from that and go up 29-20. That being said, there was actually a point earlier in the game, Jordan, where I actually was my most pessimistic, and it was not a specific play. The tension is going to be on the Browns' mistakes. But to me, the time where I was realized I was concerned was that first drive of the second half from the Chiefs. They went 14 plays. They went 75 yards out of the second half and then brought the game within one score. And it was at that point I wrote down in my notes as I was watching the game that the Browns had a whole half to adjust, and they have no answers to this offense. So they better hope they can score on every possession. And it turned out that they were not able to score on every possession. A couple turnovers went against them, and then they found themselves in a hole. So that was the point where I thought the Browns could potentially be in trouble. they had to play a perfect game on offense in order to avoid that. And frankly, they did for a large portion of this game. But then at the end, they just weren't able to execute in that same fashion, especially on that last drive, Jordan. They were not able to execute. There's going to be a lot of scrutiny on what happened there on that last drive, too. To start, I think we have to talk about Baker Mayfield's interception on that last play. Do you think Baker was trying to throw that ball away, or do you think he was trying to throw that ball to Hooper?
No, I think he was definitely trying to throw that ball away, and you could tell he got his footing got caught up. He was tripped up there, and he kind of lost balance and just, you know, and losing balance and trying to throw at the same time, Henry. I just don't think he had enough arm strength to get it all the way there. So I think it wasn't anything of like an egregious big or trying to do too much. It was evident to me that he was trying to throw the ball away, and he just kind of didn't have enough to get it there, and ended up being a back-breaking interception, Henry. But I don't blame Baker for that on trying to do too much. It was just kind of an unfortunate situation of, look, you tried to do the right thing, and it kind of was just circumstantial. You weren't able to get the ball out of bounds. I don't think he probably saw the second defender behind, I think it was Jarvis out there and someone for Kansas City. I don't know if he saw that guy, but again, I think he was definitely trying to throw the ball away. Did you come out the same way on that?
I'm 100% with you. I thought he was trying to throw the ball away. It's been the reason I ask you that question is just a lot of the Twitter conversation right now is killing me in terms of the bad decision on that. I thought he was trying to throw the ball away and just, as you said, got tripped up right as he was trying to do it. I'm not sure what the angle would have been to throw that ball to Hooper. If he was trying to throw that ball, I think it was a mistake, but I don't think that's the case. And so that's, I've seen that part has irked me a little bit. But that being said, Jordan, there has also been some discussion as a follow-up to that, that some Browns fans and just in general people that are doubting the Browns as a Super Bowl contender are of the mindset that, hey, last drive of the game, there are just other quarterbacks that you want ahead of Baker Mayfield. And that's ultimately a limitation of this team against the very best. How did you feel going to that last drive with Baker at the helm? And are you even slightly concerned about, you know, his ability in the last 2 minutes to get the job done versus some of the other quarterbacks in the league?
No, I'm not concerned about that whatsoever. I love his poise. I love his determination, everything he brings to the game. Of something that you want of a guy where it's like, hey, look, man, go win us this game. I trust him to do that without question, Henry. It's frustrating to see because he has, like you said, those doubters where, you know, exactly, they're going to point, you know, on the get-ups and the first takes and all that. They're going to point to that interception at the end without having the full context of how it happened. But I look at this game as a whole, and in that last drive, Baker was making some throws on that last drive, but he made some throws all day. I think about that double pump to Njoku that he had. Like, he was crisp today, Henry. He was, again, that showed me, like, he is here. He can hang with Patrick Mahomes. He can hang with the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Yeah, he didn't get it done at the end of the day, but I'm not blaming this loss on him whatsoever. He showed me again that he can play with these guys, Henry, and that's really all I looked for. We talked about not overreacting to this, and I'm not going to do that. I think Baker Mayfield had himself a hell of a game, and I still trust him with his ball in the hands. And when you can say, hey, go win us the game, he's going to do it a handful of times this year. Didn't work out this week, so be it. We move on to the next week.
I also am, for the most part, with you. I trust Baker Mayfield. I thought he played fantastic today, and we can get into that a little bit more later. I trust him in the same way that I trust a lot of the quarterbacks in you know, that kind of 5 to 10 range. I will say something that hurts Baker Mayfield, and I do think is ultimately a limitation of his in two-minute situations, is he's just not the most mobile guy. And that does hurt when it comes to the pressure, because you see Mahomes bail out his team when they make mistakes sometimes, especially the offensive line. And Mahomes did it throughout the entire game, but he has a knack for doing that in the last 2 minutes. You see that from Russell Wilson. You see that from Aaron Rodgers. Sometimes the guys that are really the top five level guys. And I do think that's a limitation that Baker has, is he's not a very quick guy. So when teams send pressure late, when those kind of plays happen, and yeah, you know, it's easy to say live for another day, but at some point you can't live for another day. You do have to press the issue a little bit, and you can't really take that sack. And I do think that is one area where Baker worries me compared to some of them. Other than that, I don't, I mean, I think Baker has the talent to lead the Browns, and today actually made me more confident in that in general. I wouldn't say he's at the top of my list in terms of guys I'd have in the last 2 minutes, but I think he's kind of right in line with my expectations for him as a quarterback overall.
Yeah, well, I mean, what has he done? I mean, the interception, again, we just talked about, like, hey, look, he was trying to do the right thing. It didn't happen. So be it. But, like, yeah, Henry, you have to trust him. He's done it before. He's going to do it in you know, games to come. Like I said, he's going to do it this season. I think we just have to trust him, look at the game as a whole, not look at it as that last drive of the game and what happened, and kind of just say to yourself, like, hey, is this a guy that you can trust going down the line against these opponents? And I think time in and time I got, and he's proven that, Henry. So, again, he's the guy going forward. You got to accept it. Look, people need to chill out. And you talked about it as well. Like, some of the stuff I've seen on Twitter of the overreaction, I was seeing Fire Joe Woods tweets when I was like, this was going to be a high-scoring game regardless, and people are, Fire Joe Woods, Baker isn't the guy. Oh, it's a good thing the Browns didn't give him a contract because this is what we get. Like, where does this come from, Henry? It's like, yeah, or am I dealing with Browns fans? Am I dealing with Ohio State fans? Like, what is going on? Like, are we 1 year of success? We see too much, and all of a sudden the expectations are through the roof. It was 1 week against a really good football team.
Let's talk about that defense a little bit more, because I actually think that was a little bit more of the storyline of the game because the Browns lost than it would be if the Browns had won. I think it was a little bit more of the focal point rather than the offense. So I've seen a lot about the secondary and some of the complaints there, Jordan. What did you make overall of the defensive performance today? What went wrong for the Browns? Because they really didn't stop the Chiefs a whole lot.
Well, it's tough to tell. Let me start with what went right. And something that I was really impressed with, Henry, do you agree Malik McDowell, like, as advertised, right? I mean, literally the first snap of the game, like, there is Malik McDowell. He's there. He's making plays. I thought he was spectacular today. I thought Malik Jackson actually had a pretty good game. I thought the defensive line had a pretty good game for the most part. They only had the two sacks. We saw the potential of the Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney, what they can do on that one where they both get home on Mahomes at the same time. I think Joe Jackson, interestingly enough, had the first sack of the year for the Browns. It's going to be a great trivia question down the line at some point. But yeah, I mean, I wanted to start with the good there, Henry, but the bad here's the thing. This is a question I want to ask you. This is like watching this game today. I had the same thought of like, is something schematically the Browns are doing that they're just getting torched with what seemingly every single time the Chiefs called hike, it was Travis Kelce was wide open in open space, or Tyreek Hill was wide open in open space. Like, I wonder if there's anything that we can do schematically, or if it really is just kind of one of the things where like, hey, this team is that good. These players are that good. There's not much you can do about it. Because today I kind of started to get that feel of the latter of like, look, it's going to happen. If you put the attention on Hill and Kelce is going to be wide open. And if you put the attention on Kelce and Hill is going to be wide open, like, where do you come out on that? Because I struggled with that today of thinking like, is there anything that we can do to help ourselves in this situation? I thought the Ronnie Harrison going down didn't help early in that game, obviously. But Henry, I think it's a combination of, yeah, maybe the schemes were off, but at the same time, like, this is just a really damn good football team, some damn good players, and it's hard to stop them.
I am of the belief that the schemes were not the problem. I've seen some of the same conversations with Joe Woods. I don't get it personally. I don't think Joe Woods did anything in this game that other teams haven't adopted against the Chiefs. It's pretty much a lose-lose situation. In general, if you play man against the Chiefs, Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce are problems. You can't match up with them with one guy. And also, on top of that, you run into the problems of Mahomes' mobility, where it's a lot harder to cover the quarterback and his ability to run at that point, too, when you're in man-to-man. So that you get that on one side. If you play zone, you see a lot of what the Browns saw today, which is Kelce, sitting down in the holes of the zone defense, Tyreek Hill sitting down in the holes of the zone defense, and the Chiefs kind of nickeling and diming you down the field. So it's a lose-lose situation overall. If somebody had figured out how to stop the Chiefs, they would have done it. The key is to try to disrupt the timing of that, which I am in agreement with you. I thought the defensive line was great. I tweeted about Malik McDowell. Massive, massive kudos to the Browns coaching staff for just saying, hey, he's better than Billings. Let's put him in there right away. We're not going to waste any time with this. Ultimately, my takeaway from this game was the Browns linebackers just weren't good enough. I keep seeing all this stuff about the secondary, and I get it. Tyreek Hill had 179 yards. I think a bunch came on that long play against John Johnson III, which frankly, I thought John Johnson III didn't really do anything wrong there. It was just kind of a fluke play where he got turned around, and it actually wasn't a great throw from Mahomes, but it was in the right spot that it actually really messed up John Johnson. But that aside, I thought the linebackers got exposed today. They were just too slow. They could not close the gap to Kelsey. They too often were late to react when it was their assignment. It was Mac Wilson. Then it was Malcolm Smith. Time and time again, I felt like our linebackers were absolutely exposed in space. And so to me, that was the biggest takeaway is not scheme. Sometimes it just comes down to the players. They got to execute better, and our linebackers just weren't very good.
So here's the thing, Henry. If that's the case, do you think that JOK more, you know, seeing more of him and using him more in coverage, they would have made a difference? Because look, if you're looking at a couple of those kickoffs, like he was the fastest guy down the field on a couple of those kickoffs. He was the first guy to make contact on a couple of those kickoff returns. I thought he had a great day on special teams. So do you think his, like, because I feel like I didn't see him a lot out there. Maybe I'm wrong. I haven't looked at the snap percentages or anything like that, but like, do you think that maybe using him in space could have changed the game at all? Again, I just don't know if it's one of those things where, like, yeah, you could try this, you could try that. End of the day, the Chiefs are probably still going to do what they do best, and that's get Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill the ball in open space. The thing is, like, I just feel like so many times, and you know, I have to go back and watch this game again. You know, I just kind of only got that first view, like I was in a crowded room of people trying to watch the game, but it seemed to me like I saw Malcolm Smith and Travis Kelce tied up a lot, and I was like, what? Like, what do you expect? Like, do you expect Malcolm Smith to win that matchup? No, Travis Kelce gonna win that matchup 10 times out of 10. So I don't know if it was just me reading too much into maybe one or two plays where Malcolm Smith got matched up with Kelce and it was a nightmare matchup, or if it was just like, you know, maybe JOK was in there more than I thought and I just kind of missed it.
I think it's a combination of a couple of things. I thought the Browns started in a lot of base defense and then ended up with the five DBs on the field more and more as the game went along. And I thought when they had five DBs, a lot of times it was Walker and JOK together. Now, I'm in the same boat as you. I'll be interested to see kind of the total snap count. The problem that the Browns ran into and why I think you might also be thinking this is when the Chiefs get near the goal line, the Browns also went back to putting three linebackers on the field very often because you're worried about them just running the ball into the end zone, as many teams do. And when the Browns did that, the Chiefs made the simple adjustment of, hey, oh, you're going to put three linebackers on the field? Cool. We're going to run Kelce at you in space immediately. And so they did that a couple times and got Kelce matched up in situations they liked. So I hear that criticism of Joe Woods that he started out in base and that was no good. And I think the other criticism that you could make is he played the wrong players at first. Mac Wilson should not have been the starter today, Jordan. I heard all of the offseason hype and it was a disaster in that first quarter. There were a couple of missed tackles. He was totally lost on a couple of plays. He cannot be he cannot be the starter going forward. And as much as I have to give them credit for choosing Malik McDowell, I just thought they chose wrong in Mac Wilson. I don't understand why he was the starter in this game. I thought he looked exactly like he looked last year, and that was that he didn't belong on the field in this game.
So do you believe if Mac Wilson wasn't in there, if it was someone else, that this would have given the Browns a better chance of winning this game? I just don't know if at the end of the day it would have made that a monumental difference, that we would have been looking at a different score in the end, or different outcome, I should say.
Maybe not in September, but I think they need JOK to be that guy in December or January.
And I think he will be that guy, Henry. I think we talked about it, right? Like, we've talked about it in the offseason, like, hey, maybe not by week 1, 2, 3, maybe even 4, but as the season goes on, it's going to become one of those things where, you know, obviously JOK's play is going to be like, okay, now you're going to put him in over Mac Wilson. But I know you can come back with a counterpoint of like, hey, it's kind of your job to see that before it becomes too obvious. So it's definitely an interesting conundrum, and it'll definitely be something the Browns have to consider moving forward.
For sure. And I do think this defense is still going to be a lot better. Again, this is the Chiefs we're talking about. This is a team, they're fully healthy with a revamped offensive line. They're the best offense in football. And the Browns are not going to play teams that are able to expose them in the same way like this week in and week out. They're going to play teams where their defensive line can have more impact, where their secondary can match up in one-on-one coverage. This just wasn't that matchup.
And there were a couple of individual plays where it was just like, okay, this is a different defense than it was last year. A couple of plays that jump off to me immediately, Henry, was there's a throw where Patrick Mahomes is throwing into the end zone and John Johnson just makes an absolutely incredible play, dives in front of the ball, deflects it. Chiefs don't end up getting, I believe that might have even been on the first drive. Chiefs had to settle for three. That's the play that we don't have a safety last year on the roster that's making that play. So that's different in itself. I think actually John Johnson had some cramps and was out for that first start of that second half, and that actually kind of affected the Browns defense in itself. And the other play I look at where it's like, okay, this is just different, was that third down late in the game where we're sitting there saying, you need to stop. Like, I'm looking around the room, looking at friends, like, we need a sack here is what we need. Where's Myles Garrett? Where's Jadeveon Clowney? We need those guys to show up. And they show up right then and there. They get that kind of sandwich sack of Mahomes. So those two plays stood out to me where it's like, okay, maybe the end result wasn't what we wanted. Maybe there were some lapses defensively, but at the end of the day, we saw signs where it was like, okay, this is going to be a lot different defense than it was last year. And there's a lot more talent on this defense than there was last year.
I'm right there with you. I thought I saw some people criticizing Myles Garrett's performance today. I didn't really get that, to be honest. He got double teamed a ton, first of all. And then on top of that, there were a lot of times where he and Clowney both won their matchups, yeah. And Patrick Mahomes did the thing that he does better than every quarterback in the NFL. He just bailed. He ran out.
Exactly.
So they didn't get a sack in the same way, but it was like they were winning their matchup. They just didn't get sacks at the end of the day.
And Henry, I'm so glad you brought that up because I feel like they literally did win their matchup. There are some times where they won their matchup so like dominated that matchup so good that like at the end they got too deep into the backfield. And Mahomes is so good. You mentioned them. Yeah, probably the best in the NFL. Just stepping up a little bit, going either to the right or to the left, creating that space. And then that's when the Chiefs are at their best because that's when the coverage breaks down. You get Tyreek Hill, who's faster than everyone else, kind of running his own route, creating his own play. The improv that Chiefs offense has, that's when it happens. But yeah. I'm sure Myles probably wasn't happy with his stats at the end of the day, or he probably is going to think he could have played better. But at the end of the day, I thought they played fine, Henry. It just goes back to the same thing I'm going to say a lot. You played a damn good football team today. Like, it's okay. Those things are going to happen against good football teams. We have 16 games to correct it.
I'm going to agree with you in terms of Garrett's performance. I didn't see the reason for criticism. I really didn't. He came up with a big sack, but it did matter. But I thought he was in the backfield for most of the day. I will say one person I will be critical of is Ronnie Harrison. I saw some Browns fans trying to defend this, but I'm sorry. I just don't get it. Like, that was absolutely a play where he should have been ejected. And correct me if you saw it differently, but to me, that was a huge mistake. It was early in the game, so not a lot of people focused on it, but the Browns didn't have anybody behind him. They moved MJ Stewart to safety because they didn't want to put Richard LeCount in there, a rookie, a draft pick who all of a sudden, playing against the Chiefs with no Grant Delpit back there either, because he was out. He was inactive today. And that was just a mistake that the Browns, all those things add up when you're playing the Chiefs. Yeah. And that was the first one. I have no idea what was going through Ronnie Harrison's head.
You can't beat a team like the Chiefs, and you got to play a damn near perfect game, and you can't have the mental blows like that. And here's what I'll say. Ronnie Harrison was absolutely in the wrong. And Henry, I even said earlier in the podcast that, like, hey, when he went out, that changed how we were operating on the back end of that defense. But when I'm looking at the play, yeah, he definitely deserved to be ejected, right? I mean, it was obvious that he's going to be ejected. I think the refs got it wrong a little bit, right off the bat. But at the end of the day, Henry, here's my only thing with that. Like, look, if you're going to throw a flag on the Chiefs bench and Ronnie Harrison for the same thing, like if you're going to eject Ronnie Harrison, eject the coach that made the first push. Like, that's my only thing with that. Like, why is a coach able to put his hands on the player and then the player retaliates, puts his hands back on the coach, and the player gets thrown out and the coach gets to keep going wrong? Like, what? That doesn't make sense to me. That doesn't add up. Yeah, it was a bonehead play. Ronnie Harrison should have done it. But I think that is, at the end of the day, if you're going to throw out Ronnie Harrison, like, how does that coach not get thrown out as well?
Maybe the coach should have been thrown out too. I guess
not that it would have even mattered.
That's what I was just about to say. Is Ronnie Harrison? It's like in many situations, sure, and maybe the coach should have been thrown out too, but the impact of Ronnie Harrison being out is more meaningful anyway. And so that's where you have to have a head on your shoulders and understand that, hey, this is going to have a massive impact of the team. And I think Ronnie Harrison wasn't totally wrong in the sense that the coach, I think, was trying to get involved because he thought Ronnie Harrison was trying to, I don't know, step on his player or something like that. And I think Ronnie Harrison was trying to step over him and all of that. So maybe Ronnie Harrison wasn't 100% in the wrong in the individual action that caused the coach to push him. But where he was wrong was retaliating and facing the consequences of that retaliation, because that had a way, way bigger impact than whatever would have happened with the Chiefs coach. So that's the problem and why it was such a big deal and why it was such a boneheaded move, frankly, is because he got ejected. He can't come back from that. So yeah, it wasn't even a 15-yard penalty. So that's the issue, is it was something where it was an automatic, easy ejection.
Here's the other thing too. Didn't Jedrick Wills' injury and that Ronnie Harrison situation happen like almost not back to back, but like pretty close to one another? Like, it's hard to overcome both those things and go on and beat a team like the Chiefs, and the Browns had a chance to do it at the end of the day.
That's true. They were on back-to-back drives, but I don't know. The injury side of things happened. Ronnie Harrison thing to me was not necessary. But yeah, let's turn to the offensive side of the football and what happened there. You mentioned Jed Wills, and we'll get to him in a bit. But just on the whole, what did you think of the Browns' offensive performance today, Jordan?
I think the Browns offense was as advertised. I think it was dominant as we thought it was going to be. I think that, Henry, we did so many of these podcasts where we just talked about the defense and who was going to be starting here, what they were going to be doing there. The offense, we knew what they were going to do. They're going to run the ball with Kareem Hunt. They're going to run the ball with Nick Chubb. They're going to use play action. It was exactly what I saw. The one thing that stood out to me, Henry, was just like, look, this offense that we saw from the Browns, the efficiency that they moved the ball with, that doesn't happen early on in the year last year. They're still learning the schemes of Kevin Stefanski's system. They're not totally comfortable in the system. Baker Mayfield is not totally comfortable in the system. Today, Baker showed that he is 100% comfortable in that system. And Kevin Stefanski showed that he's going to call a damn good game. He's going to call a damn good game to the strengths of Baker, to the strengths of this team. That's what I saw. Again, it wasn't enough to get the job done at the end of the day. You're not going to be able to overcome the mistakes that you can. I think Stefanski called an incredible game. His creativity continues to amaze me. Baker showed that he's comfortable in this offense. I just think that this whole team is so comfortable. They know who they are, Henry. Again, they didn't get the win, but you know who you are. You're going to move forward. You're going to build off of this, and you're going to keep getting better and keep getting more comfortable. But the Browns showed a level of comfortability in this offense, Henry, that we haven't seen week one as long as I can remember. Really, that's my main takeaway. Again, the mistakes, the fumble, this, that, and the other. But at the end of the day, this offense moved the ball with efficiency, and it looked pretty impressive for a lot of the game, Henry.
It looked fantastic. And I'll put up the caution flag first, but then I'll continue to praise the Browns. The Chiefs, look, they were missing three out of their best four defensive players, right? Tyrann Mathieu, they were missing Frank Clark, they were missing Willie Gay in the linebacking core. That being said, the Browns did exactly what they should have done against a limited Chiefs defense that's not that good. It looked like the Browns should have scored on every single drive. I thought Baker Mayfield was fantastic. I thought his accuracy was tremendous throughout the game. I thought he had several throws, one up the sideline to Njoku. I thought a couple of the throws to Schwartz were tremendously accurate. The deep ball in particular that Schwartz almost dropped, I thought was great. And then I thought he was decisive, too. He went through his reads quickly. He got to his second read, his third read. When they blitzed, he got the ball out. So I thought Baker Mayfield, on the whole, played a fantastic, fantastic game. I'm right there with you. The other thing I would say is the Browns offense was well-rounded. A lot of different guys were weapons for this team today, even without Odell Beckham. And so I thought that was the other piece of it that was really exciting.
Henry, here's another thing that we have to talk about with his offense real quick, and that is Anthony Schwartz. You touched on him for a second. Are you ready to buy in on Anthony Schwartz stock yet, Henry? Because I know you were skeptical of the draft pick. And look, it was a really interesting situation because we didn't see a lot of him. He barely practiced. He was hurt all throughout camp. But look, Anthony Schwartz was winning one-on-one matchups consistently. He showed his speed. He showed what he's going to be able to do within this offense. I was impressed by Schwartz, and he's going to add another level of dimension to this offense that we haven't seen, especially when Odell's back, that speed that you're going to be able to put out there. So, Henry, I have to ask you, what did you think of the Anthony Schwartz performance today?
Oh, he was great. I was a skeptic. I would say I'm ready to backpedal that take a little bit. I thought that his impact, you know, was going to be 10 to 15 plays a game in particular. He's going to be able to stretch the field horizontally. And you definitely saw that with a couple of the plays that they were able to get him on the edge, where he really uses that speed and did that so well in college. What I was skeptical of was he going to be able to be a down the field threat? And today, he looked great. Now, he almost dropped that pass from Baker Mayfield down
still
the field, but he didn't. He caught it, and he caught another deep pass from Mayfield as well. And so if that continues, I will change my tune for sure. I thought in college, you know, he had some problems tracking the ball down the field. I didn't think he was that great at catching the ball in traffic. But as you pointed out, and as I will readily admit, that was not the case today. He was great today. He was, and they needed him to be. Without Odell Beckham Jr., I thought the other person that I've been skeptical of at times who was also great was David Njoku. I thought he was fantastic today, yeah, too. And both those guys stepped up. And when those guys are rolling, along with Landry, along with Donovan Peoples-Jones, and the running backs, of course, it's just hard. It's a pick your poison for the defenses. The Browns, you know, basically went up and down the field. The only thing that I thought stopped them was themselves more so than anything else. And again, Chiefs, a limited defense, but the Browns exposed a limited defense. They're going to play better defenses, you know, and the Steelers, the Ravens, all of that, but they did exactly what they should have against one of the league's worst defenses.
I got a question. Njoku actually led the Browns in receiving today, 3 catches, 76 yards. Jarvis with 5 for 71, Anthony Schwartz with 3 for 69. Those were kind of, that's kind of where your passing offense came from, Henry. What did you think of kind of just the, I think it was just one target, one catch for DPJ. I thought right when I saw OBJ went down, I thought DPJ, you know, he obviously moved in that starting role. I thought he was maybe poised for a big day. Didn't happen, Henry. Did you make anything out of that?
I didn't, just because I don't think he had the best matchups, really. Number one, yeah, I don't think it's what the Browns want to do anyway. If you're looking at where he ranks in terms of the pecking order of these weapons, he's not at the top, as good as he is. And we've talked about that on the show before, that, you know, he really may be setting himself up for a breakout season next year when Odell Beckham is potentially off the team, just because there's so many other guys that are involved in this offense. But again, I didn't think it was anything he did. I just thought the Browns had better matchups across the field. The Chiefs were banged up in certain positions, and so I thought the Browns looked to take advantage of those guys. You know, without Matthew, they went tight ends at the safety and linebacker spots a lot, which is already what they like to do. So, yeah, I didn't think it was anything to do with him. It's just that the Browns have a lot of guys, and they wanted to spread the ball around and take advantage of the best matchups that they had on the field.
Yeah, and I think at the end of the day, we can both sit here and say, like, look, we're pretty confident that the Browns are going to be pretty spectacular on offense throughout the year, Henry. And like I said, to have this level of comfortability in week one, like, it's only going to get better from here on out. And at the end of the day, you probably played a good enough game to beat almost any other team in the NFL today, Henry. And that's enough for me, right? Like, I loved what I saw from the offense. There's some things to work on for the defense. But the offense looks like it's in almost midseason form, Henry, and they're kind of ready to take off. And it's good. We're going to see some pretty impressive things from, you know, a Nick Chubb, a Baker, a Kareem Hunt, Jarvis, those guys this year.
I think so, too. I'm not worried about the Browns offense at all. I thought they delivered exactly on what they should have, again, against a limited Chiefs squad. But Jordan, as we wrap up with the pod, let's turn a little bit big picture and start with that Browns offense and the one injury that came out of today's game that was pretty significant, and that's Jed Wills. He hurt his ankle on that Jarvis Landry touchdown, and it looked like he got rolled up on. He was carted off the field. How do you think that impacts the Browns going forward here?
Well, it's certainly not good, and I feel bad for Jed because, man, like I said, he just gets unlucky in Kansas City, apparently. Look, his season ended in Kansas City last year, and it starts off with an injury this year. Luckily, the Browns have some depth, right? Like, I think that Chris Hubbard is one of the better tackle replacements in the NFL. And I trust Bill Callahan and his schemes and the way he's able to get players ready. I think the Browns will be able to patch things together for at least a couple of weeks if they have to with Jed. I was certainly happy to see it wasn't a knee and wasn't an ankle, but we know that sometimes those ankle sprains can be tricky and can be almost more complicated than a knee or a break of some sort. If it's one of those fractures or those high sprained ankles, those can kind of be tricky for offensive linemen. So we'll see how it moves going or how it plays out moving forward, Henry. I don't think that it'll cost them next week against the Texans per se. I think Chris Hubbard could slide in there and you can be confident that he'll be able to protect Baker.
That's how I feel. In terms of the offensive linemen, I think it's fair to say that Jed Wills is the worst of the five. And that's not really a
shot at him.
Yeah, and that's what I was about to say. And that's not necessarily an indictment of him, but it's just the Browns have four guys that are arguably all pros at the other positions. And Jed Wills, I don't think, is at that level yet. Now, it's a problem, I would say, in terms of I think Jed Wills needs to take a step forward here if he's going to be the long-term left tackle over time. And I think he probably will. But if it is, you know, something more serious where he's hampered, it does, you know, hurt that he's not going to get as many reps in this season. But as far as the on-the-field product, Chris Hubbard, as you mentioned, is a really solid replacement. The Browns have four guys at the other positions that are going to be really solid too. So you can kind of help protect, you know, your left tackle and help, you know, with chips, with all that kind of stuff. That's an easier position on the offensive line to support too. So not the end of the world for me, but if you start getting cluster injuries on the offensive line, that's where it becomes a problem because that is the strength of the Browns team. But for now, I'm not going to be too worried about that injury in particular. Jordan, something that I think more Browns fans will be concerned about is the Chiefs and how the Browns stack up against them in general. So how did this game make you feel or did it change at all your feelings about a potential matchup with the Chiefs down the line in January?
It didn't. I mean, it just reassured the fact, Henry, that the Browns can hang with the Chiefs, that they're here to play with the best teams in the NFL. Like, look, how many times can we say, like, today, Henry, it felt like did this feel like a playoff game to you? Because to me, this didn't seem like a regular season. It felt like we ended with the playoffs last year and picked back up with the playoffs this year. And for the Browns to be playing in those type of games and to be hanging around, they should have won this game. I think I can sit here and say they should have. If they don't have those two massive mistakes, we're probably sitting here doing a different type of podcast right now, Henry. So I absolutely believe that the Browns can hang with the Chiefs, that they can beat them. They need to get over that hump, though. Like, it's difficult. It's one of those things where if these things keep adding up, like, hey, was one play in that game, one play in that game, but at the end of the day, you took L's in both of them, Henry. The Browns definitely can hang with the Chiefs. They can definitely beat them. But it's going to be a little skeptical until they prove that they can. And they'll probably, if they see them again, it'll be down the road in the playoffs. Hopefully not in Arrowhead because we have some trouble in Arrowhead, evidently, Henry. But to me, it didn't do much to tell me that the Chiefs are. I didn't come away from this thinking that the Chiefs were light years better than the Browns. I came away from this thinking, look, the Chiefs are probably the best team in football, and you had a chance to beat the best team in football today. That's how I'm walking away from this game, Henry.
It's tough, and this is why I think I'm oscillating between pessimistic and optimistic, is because on one hand, you have the fact that the Browns looked great. They were right there with the Chiefs. Baker Mayfield looked great. Kevin Stefanski matched up perfectly with Andy Reid. And that being said, I think the pessimistic part in me says, okay, the Browns were right there, but they're kind of not equals with the Chiefs either. And that's, I don't think I expected that coming into the game, but after the first half, there was part of me that started to get that feeling, right? And you said it was the playoff atmosphere. It felt like, hey, the Browns are kind of taking it to the Chiefs in this playoff atmosphere, but they weren't able to get it done. The Chiefs were missing three out of their four best defensive players. And ultimately, the Browns were fully healthy and had no answers for the Chiefs offense. And so, yeah, I think the Browns are legit in terms of they're going to be one of the best teams in the AFC. I already thought that. On the flip side, I already thought the Browns were a step below the Chiefs, and I come out of this game thinking the Browns are a step below the Chiefs. And that is, it's not deflating, but there is definitely a little part of me that was hoping, hey, maybe the Browns will actually show that the difference in the roster is enough to make up the difference between Baker Mayfield and Patrick Mahomes. And it really wasn't, even though the Chiefs roster was even worse than it usually is.
So here's the thing, Henry. Here's why you can find solace in that. Just look back to last year, right? Look how bad it was on week one last year, and look how much that team grew throughout the rest of this season. To be able to be in a game with the Chiefs where you could have won and look at it as week one and say, like, hey, we hung with the best team in football, could have won the game. But look, we have 16 more games to correct the things that we need to get better at and keep growing. And I just think that the potential, what this team showed me today, showed me that their potential, what they can max their potential out at, is possibly a Super Bowl caliber team if they're able to grow comfortably in that defense, particularly defense. The offense, fine. Look, we don't need to talk about the offense, really. That defense can grow comfortable in the schemes, find out who they are, because that offense has an identity. I don't know if that defense has an identity yet, Henry. They're able to find an identity going forward and put it all together down the line of the season. I think that, you know, the Browns are going to be right there at the end of the day with a chance to play the Chiefs and beat them again. We'll see if it happens. But yeah, I get what you're saying. I get why you can look at it and be like, hey, look, the Browns are probably a step below the Chiefs, as you said, and they lost to them again, so they remain probably a step below them, Henry. I get how it can be hard for you to look at it and be like, did they really close the gap? I don't know. But I'm looking at it from strictly a Browns standpoint of what they did and how they can get better.
Yeah, and I don't want to be too pessimistic because this Browns team is great, and I do want to enjoy that part. It's just at the end of the day, one team goes to the Super Bowl, right? And so you have to be the best team in order to win the whole thing. And the Browns haven't even been at where they are now. So as I said, I don't want to rain on the parade too much because they were right there. They were trading body blows with somebody. And so I'll end my, the podcast and my takes on the game on this more optimistic note, which is, boy, do I want to play them again. That was fun. And maybe it will have to be an upset. The Browns are a step below the Chiefs. Sure. Some things need to go their way. Sure. But it's football. That can happen. And I want to see that team again, even if it's an Arrowhead, if it's in Cleveland, I don't care. Yes, they have Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is always going to mean that they're a favorite over the Browns. But at the same time, the Browns are in that stratosphere. And if things go right, maybe the Browns pull an upset. Maybe, the best team doesn't always have to win the Super Bowl. I think that's happened before and can happen again. And the Browns are right in that conversation. So I'll end the podcast by saying, boy, do I want to play the Chiefs again.
No, isn't it like, Henry? I got that first taste of like I said, like did you kind of get that feel like this kind of felt like a playoff game to you? Did you feel that?
100%. I thought you, and that was to the Browns, credit in some respects, for they dealt really well with some of the swings. They were able to recover from the Chubb fumble and go back and drive the ball down the field. But you also felt it hurt them when that Chiefs crowd was going nuts. And I know the Chiefs crowd brings it a lot in the same way that the Browns crowd does even for regular season games, but it did feel like another level from them, where gotta respect that out of the crowd at Arrowhead, where it did feel like they also had an impact on this game commensurate with playing a home playoff game.
Yeah, I want them again, Henry, too. But here's the thing. I don't want them at Arrowhead. I want them to come to Cleveland to go through what they have to go through at First Energy Stadium. Flip it over on them. We've had to play them twice at Arrowhead now. Let's kick it back over. Let's get that first round bye. Let's welcome them to the First Energy Stadium in the middle of winter and see how they like it. I think it could be a different outcome with how close those two games were at Arrowhead, Henry. I need to see it. Like, we could play the Chiefs every single game for the year if we're going to get football games like this. But I need to see them come to First Energy, man. We got to find a way to make that happen.
Well, if the Browns are going to make that happen, they obviously have to win more games than the Chiefs now that they won't have the head-to-head tiebreaker. And that starts with the Houston Texans next week, Jordan. So we will get into that game and more. We'll maybe have one more episode looking back at some of the things from this week before turning our eye to the Texans, who destroyed the Jacksonville Jaguars today, despite not being considered a great team. And so the Browns, Don't want to overlook the Texans by any means, but that will definitely be a different caliber of game in terms of the Browns' expectations. They will definitely be a big favorite for that one. So we'll get into all that and more. I will say this too, Jordan, another optimistic thing that I forgot to mention. The Browns may have lost, but I don't know if a single team today played better than the Browns did other than the Chiefs. The Bills played pretty sloppy today. The Steelers played pretty sloppy, even though they won today. I actually thought the Steelers looked bad, even though they won.
It did look bad.
The Saints won by a lot, but because the Packers played terrible. The Texans won by a lot. A lot of that was because the Jaguars played terrible. So this was not only a playoff atmosphere, but I also thought just the pure level of play among the two teams. They looked like they were in midseason form, where a lot of the rest of the NFL looked like it was week one. So that's another piece of optimism, but I forgot to mention.
And real quick, we have to say this before we sign off. Here's the thing that really hurts. 18 in a row. 18 week one losses in a row. I think they are now 1-21 in their last 22 week one games, Henry. And that's got to change sometime soon, man. You didn't get any favors from the NFL with giving, you know, the Chiefs week one. But, man, when are we going to see them start off 1-0? I'm so tired of having to start from behind every year. When is it going to happen? Is it going to happen next year? I don't know, man. It just seems like somehow this team can't win that first game of the year.
I think a lot of it is they've had a bad team a lot of times. This is a tough break.
But still, man.
Yeah, I hear you. I get that. I don't know. For me, the history stuff just – it doesn't do a lot for me just because I'm like, cool, this is a different team. Like, they, again, had they played any other team, it's not like this team, like, showed up flat for week one, right? Like, that didn't happen. It was just they happened to get scheduled against the best team in the NFL. So, I don't know. The history stuff, I get it. The Browns have been bad for a while, but I choose to ignore that and try to enjoy the current version of the Browns because we finally got a good version here after some down years. So, Jordan, we're not going to try to overreact too much. We're not going to try to be too pessimistic or optimistic. Plenty of football still to go. An extra week of football to go this year. So we got 17 weeks still of this regular season. Before we sign off, Browns fans, just going to say what I always say after the podcast, because football is back. Go Browns.